A Pauline year was inaugurated in June by Pope Benedict to mark the bimillennium of the birth of the apostle and evangeliser St. Paul. To coincide with this event, we are running our radio drama entitled To the Ends of the Earth, based on the Acts of the Apostles and Paul's letters. The play is written and presented by our colleague Jill Bevilacqua.
The last episode told of the restoring to life by Peter of a woman named Tabitha, of a vision Peter received, and of the conversion of the pagan Cornelius and his family.
Cornelius!
What is it, Lord?
Your offering of prayers and alms has been accepted by God. Now you must send someone to Jaffa and fetch a man called Simon, known as Peter, who is lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea.
Welcome, Peter. Welcome to my house. You and your companions must be my guests. Come and meet my family.
Come, friends. Cornelius offers us hospitality.
This way, Peter. You must be tired.
Talking together, they went in to meet all the people assembled there.
My friends, Peter, the man we have been waiting for, is with us. And now, Peter, we are all eager to hear what you have to tell us.
God sent his word to the people of Israel, and it was to them that the good news of peace was brought by Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Now, you must have heard about the recent happenings in Judea, about Jesus of Nazareth and how he began in Galilee after John had been preaching baptism, how John anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and curing all who had fallen into the power of the devil because God was with him. Now, my friends, I and those with me can witness to everything he did throughout the countryside of Judea and in Jerusalem itself. And he can also witness to the fact that they killed him by hanging him on a tree. Yet 3 days afterwards, God raised him to life and allowed him to be seen, not by the whole people, but only by certain witnesses God had chosen beforehand. We are those witnesses. We have eaten and drunk with him and were his companions for 40 days after his resurrection from the dead.
In today's episode, you'll hear of the martyrdom of James and of the arrest of Peter and his release by an angel.
It was about this time that King Herod Agrippa started persecuting certain members of the church. He beheaded James, the brother of John, and when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he decided to arrest Peter as well.
Peter!
Aaron, what are you doing here? I thought you were at John's house.
I was. I've come to get you.
I told John I'd attend the Passover Sabbath prayers, for James' sake.
Listen, Peter. John said you're not to come.
What do you mean? To his brother's funeral? I'm coming right away. It's nearly finished here anyway. We've had the Ezekiel reading already. Come, let's go now.
Please wait. You must listen to me.
What is it?
They're going to arrest you.
What?
Herod's planning to try you in public at the end of Passover week.
But I'm not preaching. I'm doing what everyone else is doing, celebrating the Sabbath of Passover.
Herod's not fooled by that. And anyway, he's got the Jews on his side. They were so pleased about poor James.
I must go to John and to Zebedee and their poor mother. She wanted so much for those two boys. I remember one day we were all walking along together, more or less, and she was in front with them. And she just came out when no one was talking. So we all heard.
What did she say?
She asked the master if her sons could sit, one at his right hand and one at his left, when he came into his kingdom. There was dead silence, I remember. We were all shocked.
And the Lord, what did he say?
I remember his words clearly. He said, "You know not what you ask." And then he turned to James and John and said, "Can you drink the chalice that I shall drink?" And they said, "We can." And he said, "My chalice indeed you shall drink, but to sit on my right or left hand, it is not mine to give you, but to them for whom it is prepared by my Father."
What did he mean by that? Drinking the chalice?
Oh, that's just a manner of speaking. He was talking of his passion and death.
Now James has drunk the chalice. I bet he didn't realize that at the time.
None of us realized, Aaron. Least of all, poor Salome. She was just acting like any mother, wanting the best for her children. To stand near the throne of the King of Heaven. It was a natural request for her. How could she know what was to follow?
But what about the rest of you? Did you ask the master for anything?
No. We were pretty dumb, I must say. Women are much better at asking for things. There was a woman from Samaria, I remember.
You must have been mad with James and John that time.
Yes, we turned on them like a pack of kids. But the master soon put us in our place. We were not to lord it over each other like the pagans, he said. Anyone who wants to be great among you must be your servant. And anyone who wants to be first among you must be your slave.
You must hide, Peter. It's not safe.
I'm not afraid of Herod. And the Lord is powerful. Now, come on, let's go to John's.
But Peter...
Aaron, what did you promise when I confirmed you as a follower of the way?
Fidelity, I think.
Fidelity. Never forget it. I did once.
Here we are. Oh, there's John.
Peter, why are you here? Aaron, I thought I told you to...
Shh, shh. Don't blame the boy. He tried to tell me. But I couldn't run away at a time like this. James, companion of our youth. I want to see your mother, John. And your father. How is he taking it?
Father's not well at all. He does nothing but recite the prophet Ezekiel all day. Here he is.
Zebedee!
James! Time to cast the net, my boy! Throw the net wide!
It's Peter, Father. Remember?
Peter? Who's he? This is Simon, Simon Barjona. I know Simon. You come fishing with me, won't you, Simon? James has left me, you know, gone after that prophet, that Jesus. Our bones have dried up. Our hope has gone. I told him he should stick to the fishing or he'd come to a bad end. But no, he and his brother, they wouldn't listen to their old father. Our bones have dried up. Our hope has gone. We are as good as dead.
I'm afraid his mind has gone. It's all been too much for him. Mother, Peter has come.
Salome.
Peter, I am so glad to see you. John didn't want you to come. He's got this idea that you'll be the next... Forgive me. I know this is the will of God. That's what John tells me anyway. And I try to believe it. But when I remember the days we spent together, all of us, with the Master... Remember, John? How he used to call you and James the sons of thunder.
I remember. You were such an impetuous pair, and always going off the deep end about something or other. John's changed, though, from those times, hasn't he, Salome?
Yes. He's quietened down quite a lot. Since the master left us. And then there's Mary. He takes that charge very seriously, you know, Peter.
Yes, I know.
But James, he never really changed. He had a fiery temper, always.
Son of thunder to the end, huh?
You could say that. And now he's with the master in the kingdom.
On the left or on the right, what do you think?
Oh, John, don't. That was a very foolish thing I did. And it's a long time ago.
Then, Mother, I was only teasing.
Our bones have dried up. Our hope is gone.
Oh, Zebedee. God have mercy on us. Come, husband. Forget the bones. This is Passover. The season of our freedom.
And what about the rest of the Ezekiel vision, Father? You forget how it ends. The Lord Yahweh says this. I am now going to open your graves, my people, and lead you back to the soil of Israel.
And I shall put my spirit in you, and you will live.
Listen, it's the soldiers.
Peter, follow me, quickly.
Can't disturb them now. They're in mourning.
Where's the king's name? Where's Peter? Out of our way, boy.
Leave the boy alone. Have you no respect for the dead? This is a house of mourning.
No matter. We have orders to arrest Peter the Galilean. Come on, woman. Show us the way.
It's no good, John. The house is surrounded.
And Herod put Peter in prison, assigning four squads of four soldiers each to guard him in turns. Herod meant to try Peter in public after the end of Passover week. On the night before Herod was to try him, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers fastened with double chains, while guards kept watch at the main entrance to the prison. Then, suddenly, the angel of the Lord stood there, and the cell was filled with light. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, and the chains fell from his hands.
Get up! Hurry! Put on your belt and sandals. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me.
Peter followed him, but had no idea that what the angel did was all happening in reality. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed through two guard posts, one after the other, and reached the iron gate leading to the city. This opened to them of its own accord. They went through it, went down the seven steps, and had walked the whole length of one street when suddenly the angel left him. It was only then that Peter came to himself.
Oh, he's gone. Then I'm not dreaming. I thought it was a vision. But it's all true. The Lord really did send his angel. And it saved me from Herod. And from all that the Jewish people were so certain would happen to me. Oh, God be praised. Here I am, a free man again. Well, I'd better get along to Mark's house. That's where they'll all be now.
It's me, Peter. Let me in. Mark, open the gate.
That's Peter's voice. He's out there at the gate.
Open the gate.
How can he be at the gate when he's in prison? No one could escape from that place.
I tell you, it's Peter.
More likely his angel.
Mark.
But let's go and see anyway.
Oh, I can't believe it. I've been having such nightmares about you, Peter.
I didn't know I was so important.
Oh, you are. We've been lost without you.
You mustn't be. No one is indispensable, Aaron. And we are a community. Everyone is important.
I know, but you are the head. He chose you.
True. But he chose 11 others as well. And we all have the same mission, Aaron.
Mark and John have been telling me. To spread the word of the Lord.
And be his witnesses not only in Jerusalem,
but throughout Judea and Samaria.
And indeed to the ends of the earth.
What does that mean, do you think? To the ends of the earth. Would you go there, Mark?
What do you say, Peter?
I think you will, Mark. I think you will.
And you, Peter?
Wherever the Master sends me, Aaron. But right now...
Right now you have to get away from here.
Yes, I'm afraid I'll have to lie low for a bit. But now, I want you to tell all the followers of the way what happened. First of all, the 12, James in particular.
James, but he's...
Not that James, Aaron. There's another James, remember? Son of Alphaeus.
Oh yes, the thin one.
I think James would be a good person to take charge of things here in Jerusalem while...
While you're away,
Yes, he gets on well with all the Jews. He's still very respectful of all the old customs. He'd be a good man to keep on the spot. And he's got that air of authority about him.
Yes. He gave you a hard time when you went to that pagan's place, didn't he?
Cornelius. James is made that way. He's a stickler for rules and regulations. But we need his sort too, you know. Someone to keep us on the right side of the law. Well, I'll have to be off at first light. So, let's call everyone together. And we'll break bread and pray for the spreading of the word.
And after that, Peter left and went to another place. And the word of God continued to spread and to gain followers.
Been listening to the 9th episode of our radio drama To the Ends of the Earth. Taking part in this episode were Eleonora Baldwin, Thomas Bevan, Richard Buckingham, Jack Gillen, Maya Glickman, Anna Mazzotti, Stephen Nailwick, Clive Rich, and Veronica Wells. The sound engineer was Luciano D'Andrea. The program was written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett in the studios of Vatican Radio in Rome.
The play was written and presented there by Jill Bevilacqua.